This is the Press Play Podcast, brought to you by Real Resilience.
Hello and welcome to Press Play, the podcast from Real Resilience, dedicated to all things tape and tape recorder.
What you're doing is you're helping preserve this, and I appreciate what you're doing. You're helping reaching out to people that do want to come into it, and it's awesome what you're doing.
Thank you to Betty Spitz of ATR Magnetics, and thanks go to all of you who have downloaded the last three episodes or are now following it. Now, when I started this podcast, I was unsure of the response and the number it would get, and quite frankly, I was still feeling my way a bit. But I think I'm on the right track now, with over 500 downloads since I started publishing it. So, once again, much thanks to you, the listener. Now, if you have feedback, constructive, I hope, on any aspects of the podcast or any ideas for future ones that you'd like me to cover, then I think in the best instance, it's either message me via my Facebook page, that's Real Resilience on Facebook, or go to the website www.realresilience.co.uk and fill in the inquiry form. And Real Resilience is RealResilience.co.uk. Now, if it's one thing that will drive the resurgence of the tape format, then it's got to be tape. No new tape means a reliance on aging stock with its incumbent shedding issues. Sure, you can bake it, and maybe we'll talk about this in future podcasts, but it's only really a temporary solution. Relying on old tape simply isn't a viable solution for the future. Unless you know differently, in which case I'd love to hear about it, there are only two manufacturers of new tape around at the moment, they being ATR Magnetics in the US and RTM based in France. In this podcast episode, we'll be hearing more from Betty Spitz of ATR and also from Theo Gardin of RTM, as this episode is dedicated to tape.
Press Play, the Real Resilience podcast, dedicated to all things reel to reel.
Now, before we get to the interviews, a roundup of what's been happening in the tape machine towers, that is Real Resilience. The shop is getting stock now. We now sell Isoflex PDP 65 and Constant GLOI 2100 in 10 milliliter bottles. These are the two lubricating oils that, depending on the age of your capstan motor, owners of Studer Revox machines will need one of. Which one you need is detailed in Studer's Technical Protocol 174, which can be found on the download section of the Real Resilience website. Now, on the various forums I've read, questions from owners asking what lubricant to use on the bearings of their machines, and answers suggesting anything from sewing machine oil to the stuff you put in car gearboxes, I would suggest that a good alternative to that is these two oils, as they were specified by Studer Revox to be used on their machines, so they're probably good enough for pretty much 99% of other machines around on the market. Now, since Studer only recommend one or two drops of the stuff every 6 months be applied to their motors, a 10 milliliter bottle is going to last you quite a long time. And as I said, you can find it in the shop section of the Real Resilience website. Now, also in the shop, we've produced a cable and switch box set to ease the different cable plugging you will need to do when lining up your machine. When you read the manufacturer's service manuals, it usually talks about connecting the inputs in parallel with a croc clip or adjust the output for such and such on the DVM, and then goes to show diagrams of what you need to connect up to do one test and then have to reconfigure to do the next test. Quite frankly, it's all pretty fiddly. The kit is designed for machines that use Phono RCA connectors and will allow you to connect everything up in one hit and use the switch box to monitor left and right channels and check the levels that you're injecting into the machine. It's ideal if you're on a budget and using a multimeter to check the levels and a PC or budget oscillator to create the tones. And full instructions on how to use it are included in the kit. Elsewhere on the download section, there's a fascinating document from BBC Engineering written in the early 1960s, I think, and it covers the differences between NAB and IEC tape equalisation. Well worth a read. We've been doing some work on non-Studer Revox models too. I had a client request that I take a look at an MCI JH24 track machine. It had low pinch roller pressure and it was a pleasure to work on that machine. Said machine is now up to current pressure and the client is quite happy. And I've just bought my second Akai 4000 series machine and finished the refurb on a TX 1700 series model that I'll probably sell on. Details to follow. So, to tape. blank or pre-recorded, you've got to have it if you want a tape machine. We'll be hearing from Theo Gardin. He's the sales manager of RTM, that's Recording the Masters. And then we'll hear from Betty Spitz of ATR Magnetics about the background of their respective companies.
Former brands like Pyrol or RMG made for a long time audio tapes for studios and end users, and Mac Stripes for credit cards and tickets. Mulan, so the current company, was focused on test equipment for the card industry and decided to enlarge its range of products by acquiring the card and audio tape factory. So launching Recording the Masters brand was necessary to start over and to highlight the fact we are carrying the torch of analog tapes.
ATR Magnetics actually started sat down and talked about it in 2005. Quantigy filed Chapter 11 January 1st, 2005. And at that time, my husband, Mike Spitz, was actually we had a couple of partners and was going to come out with a new tape recorder. But after Quantigy had closed, nobody's going to buy our tape recorder if there isn't tape. So at that point, decided to, since nobody else is making tape, Mike was very passionate about the sound of analog recording and he wanted to see it continue. So they sat down and said, maybe we'll make tape instead, going from, you know, mechanical engineer to a chemical engineer is not the easiest thing to do. But we found some experts in the field and Quantigy came back a few times to do some last runs, which was awesome. But in the meantime, we had acquired our equipment before they closed down and we started building our plant up.
Now, you've got a company that can make tape, but what oxide formula are you going to use? Both RTM and ATR go back to proven recipes from past manufacturers and use these as a basis for their product ranges. Here's Betty Spitz and then Theo.
The formula that we were going for was the 456, or should I say is, the 456 formula that Ampex / Quantigy had made, because that was a very popular formula that most people liked.
Our basic formulas are coming from Agfa and BASF, former brands. So we still use those standard formulas. The magnetic and the chemical things have been adjusted and evolved along the years, you know. But basically, the formulas were coming from BASF and Agfa.
Now, the tape I know best is the Agfa PEM 468, which was sold to the BBC by Raquel Zonal. They licensed it from Agfa and sold it under their 675 brand. And the BBC took a range of tapes from manufacturers, all corresponding to the Agfa PEM 468 recipe, and called it BBC Type 200. It's a great tape. It's got low print through and is really robust. So this is one of the reasons why the BBC went for it, because it's got to stand up to some handling. And of course, when they went for it in the late 1980s, there was no other format to archive on. It was recorded to tape and it went on the shelf. So having that low print through ability meant it was great for archiving. So that's the tape I know best. But once you've got your tape formula as a basis for your products, what do the two companies offer with it?
Our flagship tape that we started is the ATR Master Tape, you know, really geared toward the recording studios. And then we ended up coming out a number of years later. We came out with the MDS-36, and we made that in honor of Mike's name. It's his initials, and that's how it is named, the MDS, Michael Spitz. So that's the 1 mil tape, really geared toward the audiophile customer. Both are the exact same formula, the same thickness, different substrate that it's coated on, really. And so we came out with that. And then after that, we came out with the 7-inch reels for both formulas that we sell a tape on.
Our product range is quite large. I mean, offering everything customers could need. The magnetic formulas cover any type of use. First of all, the famous SM900 and 911 are used in major studios worldwide. I mean, as there are plus 9 and plus 6 dB, you can place your operating level really high without having any distortion. Then you mentioned the SM468. You're right. It's mainly used by recording tape duplicators because of what you mentioned. I mean, the low print through level. Then we also produce the LPR 90 and 35 called long play versions. And they come from the 900 911. And they are thinner, so you can wind more than 1,000 meters on your tapes, meaning that you will get longer recording time. So the range of products is quite large. So I think we can meet the customer's expectation quite well.
To have a healthy tape machine market, you need market sectors. And if any company is going to have a window on what is selling well and into where, it will be the tape machine manufacturers. Blank tape for the end user or for duplicators, consumer or professional sectors, they will know what's happening. And Betty has a take on what sells best.
10.5-inch reels is number one. 7-inch reels are, they have been really booming. I think, as far as I understand, there's more tape decks that run 7-inch reels out there than there are 10.5-inch, because those are the consumer models. We're finding more audiophiles are starting to become a bigger, our bigger market, because there are so many people that are listening to music than there are the recording studios. So, the recording studios does go through the tapes, but it's more of, the audiophiles are buying pre-recorded music, which is wonderful, and recording it on their own or going to concerts and being able to have access to be able to record it.
Now, I might just be getting into controversial territory here when the conversation shifts to cassette. But if you're an open reel purist or just someone who likes to see reels going round, you can't dismiss that this format has seen an uptake in interest. Personally, I think we should be glad. After all, playing around with a cassette machine is how I started my audio career. From a business model, both ATR and RTM are wise to address this format. Both companies offer a cassette, but in the case of ATR, currently, it's not a new product.
Recently, we are coming out with a superferric oxide cassette tape. So brand new Formula 2 cassettes will be the 456 formula. And they'll be coming out within the next few months is what we're looking at. And in the meantime, we're selling chrome cassettes. We've been selling those.
You're finding this stuff in old dusty warehouses somewhere or something?
No, we just have access to it. And now, we got a large amount and we want to make it accessible to anybody who wants to use it and have it. It's just they're not making chrome anymore because it's too caustic to the environment during the processing of making the cassettes. So chrome is not being made anymore. So it's made. Let's go ahead and use it and make it available.
Now, RTM have answered the demand with the Fox C60. Teo explains why it was introduced.
In 2016, with the Long Life Analog Program, we identified the audio cassettes as an important topic. And 1 year later, we started to get more and more requests from the professional duplication companies for new audio cassettes and cassette tapes.
Oh, so that was driven by the duplication market rather than the end user wanting to rediscover cassettes again.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, there are still companies who are still making copies of albums where they were using old cassette tapes stock, and this stock was depleting very quickly at this time. So it was a good opportunity to start working on this product range with both end users, with the Fox C60 and professionals making duplication. In addition, there are more and more labels and musicians asking for cassettes. I mean, this format is really coming back and it's not very expensive. So there is an interest in this sense. But what is very funny is that when you ask to a person of, more than 40 years old, a lot of people are saying that the quality is too bad, because they are remembering the ones they had in their car during years, burnt and broken. But cassettes come from audio tapes, so it's analog thing and you have to store it correctly. Yeah. And if you do so, it's going to sound really, really good.
And who's buying them?
We sell it to both to end users and the professionals. I think to start this project, we needed a strong demand, because you can't invest money on a project when you have only, for example, 100 people asking a new cassette. Because even if you want to hear them, you can't invest money if you are not sure that you will get something back at the end. So, but nowadays, I think we sell monthly around 2,000 or 3,000 cassettes to end users and a lot of pancakes to the professional duplicators. We are working with a subcontractor, in the UK, and they are doing all the shells, the labels, the printing on the C0 and that kind of thing. But we provide the tape and they give us the finished product.
But NOS stock aside, how will ATR answer to the resurgence of the cassette?
So we're going to call it the superferric oxide, really, is a 456 formula, same formula that we're using, and it'll be in the 60-minute and 90-minute. I believe it's a type 2 cassette. And I have to double check that.
Is that on the market now?
No, not yet. Not yet. We're trying to just do it in the last minute checking and rechecking and making sure it's the right thing.
And as far as interest and sales in cassettes, which some purists regard as lo-fi, how is that going for Betty at ATR?
I am really surprised. I am really surprised. There are a lot of people that are wonderfully passionate about cassettes. It is tape. So, yeah, I'm really surprised and happy that people really are running cassettes.
Now, ATR have also gone a bit left field with one of their products, too. You're also doing Echo Tape, which is lubricated tape for Echo Tape machines?
Yes.
That's a first for me. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, we found that a lot of people really needed the lubricated tape, and they're looking for a good quality that'll last a long time. A lot of them take it out of old 8-track cartridges, but, you know, an 8-track cartridge is very thin film. But we coated on a little bit thicker film on there. And we've had great success with it. So it's, for those, you know, the Space Echoes and machines like that, and any kind of loop-based tape machine that you want to put it on, you can put it on.
We'll come back to Betty and Teo in part two of our interviews, but I wanted to touch on an area that appears to cause great confusion amongst machine owners when it comes to selecting a tape to play and, most importantly, to use to record on their machines, and that is bias. What it is, what it does, how much, how little? All questions we need to answer.
Find Real Resilience on the web at realresilience.co.uk and on our Facebook page, Real Resilience.
Now, I'm afraid this podcast isn't really the ideal place to go into this subject. To do it any justice, I would suggest you get someone who knows about it to show you the steps to take when adjusting your machine for the correct bias for the tape you are using. What you will need is a sample of the tape, of course, and the spec sheet for it. This will detail what is known as the amount of overbias that you need to set on your machine for a particular tape and tape speed. And not wishing to complicate things further, but the record head gap can also play a part too, although this aspect is less critical. In essence, though, bias is a way to significantly reduce the distortion of the audio waveform imprinted on the tape by the magnetic recording process. Unless you are dealing with an open reel from before, say, the 1950s, or some low-end cassette-based dictating machine, AC bias is the standard system you will encounter in both the open reel and cassette formats. Biasing the signal means adding, not modulating, a high-frequency signal, and it's typically around 150 kHz, so you won't hear it, to the audio signal. It has the effect of shifting the audio signal to a more linear part of the magnetizing curve. And again, not wishing to get too technical, but this is known as the hysteresis loop. So that means that the audio waveform is recorded in a linear fashion. Now, this 150 kHz signal is also the same one that's used to erase a tape. Now, that might seem strange, but due to the way the physics works, the bias signal decays as the tape moves away from the record head. But the wanted audio signal, being left in what is known as the residual field of the hysteresis loop, is left on the tape. See, it's quite simple, really. Now, I suggest if you want to know more, you hit the net if you really want to get into the subject. Wikipedia is a good place to start to understand the principle. Just search for AC bias and go from there. But be warned, though, you can easily go down a bias rabbit hole and it will be a long and deep one. We'll now return to part two of the interviews with Betty Spitz of ATR Magnetics and Teo Gardin of Recording the Masters.
Find Real Resilience on the web at realresilience.co.uk. And on our Facebook page, Real Resilience.
So we've got open reel tape in a variety of formats and sizes and a cassette offering from both companies. It all sounds very positive on the tape front. But how do both companies see the future of tape and tape machines? And what is their company ethos in addressing this?
When the company was formulated, you know, it really looked at the market. And unfortunately, Quantigy was this huge company, and it was a football field under one roof, and they made huge webs of what they were doing. And the industry was slowly changing, as every industry changes. And I don't know if it, you know, could be really supported. So when this company was actually put together, it was, okay, how big is the market? And how big do we make our product to cover that? So it was geared a lot smaller, which is fine. But, you know, what we make, we're turning around and selling right away. So it makes us a healthy company. We're passionate about analog recording, and we're passionate about our customers getting the best quality service. And we're also passionate about making the best product that we can make. And we're passionate about supporting our customers. If they have an issue and you call up, 9 times out of 10, I'm the one, the owner, answering the phone and talking you through it. And we will follow through and make sure that you're a happy customer. And that's the main thing.
So what are the future? What do Teo and Betty see the future holding for the tape format?
I would say that the audio market is growing fast. We are building more and more partnerships all over the world on tapes, but also cassettes. And younger people and sound engineers are learning how to use analog gear and tapes again. So this is what's the most interesting thing today, is that people are looking for touchable things made with efforts and strong know-how and skilled people here. So I think there is a growing gap between customers who are buying what I could call mass market products following a trend and the other ones who pay attention to how things are made. Well, the demand is also coming from artists and bands. So they do want to realize something special on tape or cassettes. And we enjoy the fact our historical targets, the studios, those who make the music, are asking again to use tape. You know, it's a kind of victory for us.
You know, I just heard that records, LPs, actually outpaced CD sales the past month. So, yeah, people are trying to, you know, the pendulum's swinging back a little bit to have that natural, warm sound. I think more people are getting interested. I think the funniest thing is we see people that call up, you know, asking about our tape, and they'll say, I just bought a new tape recorder on eBay. So it's wonderful, that 40-year-old new tape recorder. They say, so, you know, let's get you tuned up and whatever we can do for you. So it's exciting. It really is. And I like to support the customers that are calling with these new, quote unquote, new tape recorders, new to it, because, you know, you don't have that support as much anymore. You have a little bit of questions. You have some of the online support groups, but a lot of them are finding they're a little out there on their own. So I like to talk to them firsthand and try to walk them through it and how to, you know, thread your machine and how it's going to run and tell them you got support. Call us anytime.
And competition between the two companies? Is the market big enough for both to make a living? We have heard that RTM are selling 3,000 cassettes a month, so here's Teo to answer that.
There are only two companies nowadays who are making tapes, ATR and Mulan. And to be honest, this is not a fight. You know, this is not a war, because every company has his formulas, you know, from BASF and from the others. But when you go to blogs and forums, you will see that some people like ATR tapes, some others like recording the master's tapes, because the feeling is different, the sound is different. But it's not really a matter of who is the best. It's really a matter of the customer choice.
In the end, tape from ATR or RTM played on an open reel or cassette, on a consumer or a professional machine, pre-recorded or from your own efforts. I guess it all comes down to that analog sound, which has got to be a good thing.
It's a wonderful product to have. It's interactive. You know, you sit down in front of your stereo and it's, you don't just plunk a CD in or push a button on your iPad and listen to music. It's interactive. You go up, you take the reel, you thread it through your tape recorder. And you, by analog, you naturally listen. You calm down, you listen, you get undistracted from anything else going around you. And I think that's the most comfortable way to listen to music and enjoy somebody's quality voice or the way they play that wonderful instrument. And that's what analog is supposed to all be about.
My thanks go to Betty Spitz, owners of ATR Magnetics, and Teo Gardin, the sales manager of RTM, for their time. A Google of the company names will find their sites, where you can not only see their full product ranges and order online, but you can also view a range of useful documents on tape and tape machines. Incidentally, if you plan to line up your machine for one or two of their products, you will need that spec sheet I mentioned when we talked about bias. You'll find them on their sites. ATR's web address is www.atrtape.com. That's www.atrtape.com. And RTM is www.recordingthemasters.com. That's www.recordingthemasters, or one word, .com. So that's it for this episode of Press Play, the podcast from Real Resilience, dedicated to all things tape and tape recorder. Until the next time, keep it real. What happened to the tape machine? Did that come to fruition?
No, unfortunately, it did not. That just completely stopped. That day, it stopped because it just took 110% of everybody's time to get a tape company up and running.